Praise the Lord. If you have your Bibles, would you turn with me to the book of Revelation tonight? Chapter 2, verses 1 through 7. Going to Revelation 2, 1 through 7. And let's all read it together. It says, "Unto the angel of the church of Ephesus write, These things saith he that holdeth the seven stars in his right hand, who walketh in the midst of the seven golden candlesticks. I know thy works, and thy labor, and thy patience, and how thou canst not bear them which are evil, and thou hast tried them which say they are apostles, and are not, and hast found them liars, and hast borne, and hast patience, and for my name's sake hast labored, and hast not fainted. Nevertheless, I have somewhat against thee, because thou hast left thy first love. Remember, therefore, from whence thou art fallen, and repent, and do the first works, or else I will come unto thee quickly, and will remove thy candlestick out of his place, except thou repent. But this thou hast, that thou hatest the deeds of the Nicolaitans, which I also hate. He that hath an ear, let him hear what the Spirit saith unto the churches. To him that overcometh will I give to eat of the tree of life, which is in the midst of the paradise of God." Let's take a moment and pray. Lord Jesus, thank you for your goodness, your grace, your many wonderful blessings. God, your presence in this place right now. I pray that you'd help me and empower me to speak your word as you would have it spoken. God, let it be your word, not mine. And I pray help us to learn from your word and draw closer to you tonight. We give you praise and honor. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. And you may be seated tonight. There's something fascinating about a fire. There's something fascinating about fire that mankind has always been attracted to. Maybe it's the heat, maybe it's the color, maybe it's the motion of the flames, maybe it's the smell, maybe it's all of the above. But we love fire. I love fire. And it's not hard to just sit around a fire and watch it burn, because there's something hypnotic and fascinating about it. When there's a fire going, you'll find yourself drawn to it and watching it and just seeing what it's going to do. Maybe it is the potential power that it contains. Maybe it's simply the beauty of it. But we're fascinated with fire. Now, back home where I come from, we have a tradition known as the bonfire, which is a very particular type of fire. It's an outdoors, big, raging social fire. And what we do at a bonfire, if you're not familiar, is we sit on a beach or a similar place, build a big old fire with logs and sticks, whatever wood you can find on the beach, and we roast hot dogs and we roast marshmallows and we look at the stars and we chat about life, and it's fantastic. And that's called a bonfire. Now, after a while at the bonfire, a very curious thing starts to happen. You're watching the fire, and after a while, it starts to diminish in intensity. It starts to die down, and it starts to lose, well, its fire. It starts to lose itself. And then at this point, you have to go on a small adventure down the beach, pick a direction, and you have to find more wood to burn. Otherwise, you lose your bonfire. And that's only acceptable when you're ready to go home, and who knows when that could be. You have to find more wood for your fire. And I was thinking life in the spirit can be very similar to a bonfire. I mean, you get your spiritual life burning and raging, and your worship is going, and you're digging into your prayer life, and it's great, and it's like the flames are flying. However, if you don't keep an eye on it, after a while, it'll start to die down. After a while, the flames will start to diminish. If you don't take care of it, just like a natural fire, your spiritual life will start to fade. And when that starts to happen, you have to get the fire burning again. You've got to find some more fuel for your fire to get those flames raging again. And that's the first point I want to make, is that fire takes fuel. You can't just burn nothing and expect to have fire. You have to have something combustible that's going to burn to create fire. And my title for the evening is Reignite. Sometimes you have to reignite a fire. Exodus 27, 20 through 21. This is talking about the Old Testament tabernacle plan. It says, "And thou shalt command the children of Israel that they bring thee pure oil olive beaten for the light, to cause the lamp to burn always in the tabernacle of the congregation without the veil, which is before the testimony. Aaron and his sons shall order it from evening to morning before the Lord. It shall be a statute forever unto their generations on the behalf of the children of Israel." He told them that they were to cause the lamp to burn always, not to let it go out ever. They were supposed to refresh the oil before it ran out, before the fire died completely. They had to get more fuel for the fire to keep it burning. Similarly, we need to keep fueling our spiritual fire with prayer, with God's word, with worship music, with surrounding ourselves with friends who will be a positive spiritual influence. We need to fuel our spiritual fire with our church attendance, with showing up to church events. If you're not in and around the church, it's awfully hard to be part of the church. We need to keep on fueling our spiritual fire with good fuel. And we also need to periodically recheck how our fire is doing. If you ignore it, if you neglect it, sooner or later, the flames are going to start to die down. If you just leave it to the side and expect it to take care of itself, it's going to die down. We need to constantly check how our fire is doing. If we're living for God like we always have, or have we begun to drop off a little bit? Is our faith still soaring, still high, or has doubt begun to creep in? Are we still maintaining the standards of holiness, or have we begun to make little compromises here and there? These are the types of questions that we periodically need to ask ourselves and check ourselves and say, am I still doing the things that I need to do to keep God's fire burning in my life? Are we doing the important things? Are we fueling the fire, or are we just expecting it to burn on its own? Because it won't. Some areas in our life that occasionally need a touch of reignition. The first one is worship. Our worship is so critical. As believers, as Pentecostals, worship is a part of who we are. It's something that our movement is founded in, is exuberant, loud, boisterous worship. When we come together to worship the Lord, there's nothing wrong if things get a little loud. There's nothing wrong if things even get a little bit out of hand. If you get excited about Jesus and decide that today I just got to shout about how good Jesus is, there's nothing wrong with that. Jesus told them in John 4:24, God is a spirit, and they that worship him must worship him in spirit and in truth. It's not enough to worship God with our mind. It's not even enough to worship God with our words, with what we say. But we need to worship the Lord from the bottom of our heart in spirit and in truth. We see this in the instance when Mary anointed the feet of Jesus. She was only concerned with one thing, the worship of her Lord. She poured out that precious ointment on his feet as an act of pure worship. And that's all she was concerned with. She didn't care what was going on around her, what other people thought about her, what the situation was outside of that place. But in that moment, what she knew was, I need to worship the Lord. Everything else can wait. Judas, on the other hand, was only concerned with the money that was being wasted, with the price of that precious ointment that they could have done something else a little more practical with. Worship might not always be practical, but it is always in order. It's always what we need to be doing. Most of us probably fall somewhere between those two extremes, but we need to be a lot more like Mary than Judas. And we need to make sure that we are. We need to keep on checking ourselves and saying, am I living a Mary kind of worship, or am I just worried about what it costs me? What else I could be doing outside of worship? What am I sacrificing that I might rather be doing than worship? Is that all that's on our mind? Or are we going to be a little bit more like Mary and say, no, everything else is secondary. Everything else can wait. Right now, I just need to worship Jesus. And if we take an honest look at ourselves and say, our worship isn't where it once was, then it's time to put some fuel back on the fire. Then it's time to dig back in and say, worship is going to be my priority again. We are Pentecostal after all. And we're not going to stop worshiping Jesus because the world around us says it's inappropriate. We're not going to stop worshiping Jesus because it's a little bit inconvenient, because we could be doing something else. But we are going to keep on worshiping Jesus because of the fire that's burning in our hearts, that's alive and well. Because when it begins to die down, we're being attentive and we're going to fuel it again. We're going to worship the Lord. Worship needs to be at the core of who we are as believers. If nothing else, we need to check that there's breath in our lungs and say, am I breathing? Yes, I'm qualified to worship the Lord. Let everything that has breath praise the Lord. We need to make sure that our worship stays at a high level. And if it begins to drop, get it back up right away. The next thing that we might need to reignite in our lives from time to time is our witness. Matthew 5:14-16, Jesus taught them, ye are the light of the world. A city that is set on an hill cannot be hid. Neither do men light a candle and put it under a bushel, but on a candlestick. And it giveth light unto all that are in the house. Let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father which is in heaven. We need to make sure that our burden for the lost is still strong. We need to make sure that our burden for lost souls is burning bright. And if we take an honest look inside ourselves and you know, we say, well, I still have a burden for the lost, but it's begun to wane a little bit. The flames have begun to flicker a little bit. Then we have to get back on it right away, as soon as you can. We have to make sure that Jesus' mission stays our mission, to seek and to save that which was lost. Because what's lost is so critically important in the eyes of Christ. Said there's more joy in heaven over one sinner that repents than over 99 righteous persons which need no repentance. That needs to be our mission. That needs to be a driving force in our lives. That needs to be something that burdens us and inspires us at the same time. That what God has done in our lives, He can do in somebody else's life. We need to have a burden for the lost that is strong, that is healthy, that lets our light shine outside of the four walls of this congregation. Jesus was very plain. He said, your witness, your light, is not something to hide away. It's not something to keep private. It's not something to keep to yourself. You're a city set on a hill that cannot be hid. It should be that everywhere we go, people can see that we are Christ followers, that people can see that we are Jesus people, that we might even be just a little bit Jesus-centric. It should be plain to the casual observer that that's a Christian. And if it isn't plain at first sight, it should be very plain after talking with us for a very short period of time. Because when you talk to somebody you haven't met before, you're going to find that some things get said, and then somebody finds out you're a Christian, and a few different things can happen. But all of those things revolve around the realization that you're different. I know it's happened to me where somebody has said something to me that was maybe less than appropriate, and then they discovered that I was a Christian, and it was like, oh, I'm sorry, I never would have said that if I knew. Or the other thing that can happen is they just don't care and say even worse things. That doesn't happen too often, though. But in either case, do we have a burden for that lost soul? No matter what response we get to our faith, do we still have a love and a care for that person's soul? I mean, I've encountered people who are downright challenging, are downright difficult to please and difficult to be around. But do we still have a burden for that soul? Because Jesus still loves them just as much as He loves you or I. And so if our burden for the lost at any point starts to falter, we need to make sure to throw some more fuel on the fire. Get back into prayer. Get back into praying for people. Get back into searching the scripture. Get back into it. Whatever's missing, whatever's lacking, get back into it. Because it can be a cold, cold world out there. I'm sure most of you have experienced that. I'm not even talking about winter. I'm not a winter person. But even more then I'm not a winter person, I dislike the coldness of our world, the uncaring nature sometimes of the world around us. And it can be cold out there, but when we've got the fire of God burning in our hearts, it begins to warm the atmosphere. It begins to warm things up for people who haven't experienced it before, who haven't had an experience with God, but they see a church that's on fire, that's burning with love, and they say, that is something that I can get on board with. It goes beyond religious routine. It goes beyond just the day-to-day practices of what we do, but a burning fire for God that changes lives and changes hearts forever. I mean, I'm getting ready to close. 1 Kings 18, 38 through 39. I mean, I think there comes a time in everybody's faith life, I don't think anybody is exempt from this. From time to time, just our passion for the things of God begins to get a little sidetracked, if we're being honest. I think it happens to everyone, hopefully not always, hopefully not often. But everybody struggles from time to time. The good news is, when you're struggling, even if you fail, hope is not lost. Okay, even if your fire is dying out, it's just embers, even if you're at a low point in life, even if you say to yourself you've lost faith, you've lost the ability to continue, it's not too late to reignite the fire of God in your life. 1 Kings 18, 38 through 39 says, "Then the fire of the Lord fell and consumed the burnt sacrifice and the wood and the stones and the dust and licked up the water that was in the trench. And when all the people saw it, they fell on their faces and they said, 'The Lord, He is the God. The Lord, He is the God.'" Now, this is the end of the story of Elijah's showdown with the prophets of Baal. Told them, "You're going to build an altar, make a sacrifice. I'm going to build an altar, make a sacrifice." And to whichever offering the Lord answers by fire, or whichever God answers by fire, he's God. Those were the terms of the arrangement. The prophets of Baal prayed all day, danced all day, began to cut themselves, call on Baal all day. No fire. Then it came to Elijah's offering his sacrifice. Took 12 stones, built an altar, put the sacrifice on the altar. And he said, "Wait, it's not good enough yet. Build a trench around the altar, the sacrifice, and soak everything with water." Okay, everything is soaked with water, can't possibly burn. Then he said, "Soak it again." So now everything is double soaked. Now, have you ever tried to burn wet wood? Okay, I've been to a few bonfires, and we went to make a bonfire a little too soon after it had rained. And we thought we could make a fire anyway. It's a lot harder than burning dry wood. A lot harder. Like, you can't do it. Elijah had himself an impossible situation. He made an impossible situation. Said, "Okay, you guys watching, it's soaked. It can't burn. I've got no tricks up my sleeve. There's no archer over there with a burning arrow or something who's going to try to fool you. They didn't have lighters back then. He didn't have a lighter up his sleeve. It wasn't going to burn." But God said, "I can burn it." And so he did. God sent fire from heaven, consumed the sacrifice. Everybody saw it. They all said, "The Lord, he's the God. The Lord, he's the God. Okay, we believe it now." It's interesting to me that they went out of their way to say, not just, "Lord, he is God. He is the God." They didn't say, "Okay, he's a God." They said, "That's it. He's the God." Competition over. Now, at this time, Israel was not doing so well spiritually. They were not on fire spiritually. But God showed them that there's no situation that can stop him from kindling a new fire. Doesn't matter how dead it is. Doesn't matter how soaking wet a sacrifice is. God can still burn it. Let's all stand tonight. And in a minute, we're going to pray and find a place of prayer. And I'm going to invite you to find a place around this altar to talk to God and a place to seek the Lord. But whatever your situation tonight, know that God can still kindle a little fire. Whether your flames have been burning bright, you're doing your best to serve the Lord and things are going great, or whether the flames of your spirit have begun to wane, maybe wax a little cold. If you turn to God tonight, he said he would baptize us with the Holy Ghost and fire.
the Holy Ghost, and fire. And we all need the fire of the Holy Spirit. Again, it's a part of who we are. If you're in this place tonight and you don't have the Holy Ghost, I want to invite you to find a place of prayer. Ask the Lord to fill you with His Spirit. Begin to talk to Him. Begin to worship Him. Begin to ask Him to fill you with the Holy Ghost. And He will reply by filling you with His Spirit. And you're going to talk in a language that you never learned. What the Bible calls talking in tongues. And that's how you know that you're filled with the Holy Ghost. Amen. Even if you just need a little encouragement tonight, God's got that for you. Maybe you just felt like things have been hard lately and you're not sure if it's going to work out, but God still has fire for your soul. Amen. Let's pray. Lord, thank you, Jesus, for your goodness and grace. God, for your mercy, your many blessings. I pray, Lord, do a work in our lives tonight. God, do a miracle in our hearts and minds tonight. Lord, help us to put the kingdom of God first. Lord, to seek you first in everything that we do, that you would be top priority. God, we want to worship you in spirit and truth, to lift up your name. God, like never before. God, to push the limits of our worship. God, to push the limits of our relationship with you. Lord, to draw closer and nearer to you in everything that we do. God, to be a witness to the world around us. Help us to follow you. And God, I pray that you let the fire fall on a sacrifice of praise in this place. Lord, as we begin to lift up your name and give you glory and honor, we worship you. Lord, we give you praise in Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Amen. I want to invite you. The altar's open. Let's find a place to pray and talk to God.